Just pray and seek the Lord, and I would encourage you to do that today. And if you're our guest here today, we welcome you. We're so glad you're here. We are delighted that you've chosen to be with us at Heaven View. Can we just give our visitors a clap of the hands? Thank you. Thank you for being here. And if you are a guest, you owe it to yourself to come back when our pastor, Pastor Harold Linder, is here, and you need to hear from him. Hallelujah. You never want to miss when he preaches. So I would encourage you to be here when he comes back. Hallelujah. If you would turn in your Bibles today, we're going to go to the book of Genesis. And that book's not too hard to find, so hopefully you can follow along okay. The book of Genesis, chapter 1, beginning at verse 3. And the scripture says, "And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day." If you would drop on down to verse number 14, we'll continue there. "And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also." Like how he just fits that in there. Just made the stars also. "And to rule over the day and over the night and to," excuse me, "and God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good." Verse 19, "And the evening and the morning were the fourth day." Hallelujah. I'd like to talk to you a few moments on this subject. There is light for a dark world. There is light for a dark world. So whatever you need, if you're living in darkness, there is light, there is hope, there's grace for you. Hallelujah. Praise God. Why don't we go to the Lord right now in prayer? Lord Jesus, we want you to release your power today so that it would change us, God. We need your light. We need your power. We need everything you have for this church today, oh God. I pray, Lord, that you would touch your people. Oh Lord, help us, God, today. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Can everyone say amen? Amen. You can be seated. On the old terrazzo floor of the former United Pentecostal Church International Evangelism Center, there was this inscription that was laid right there in the floor. And it simply reads, "The whole gospel to the whole world." The whole gospel to the whole world. And that is the goal of the church. That is inscripted there so that we could always be reminded. And it should be inscripted in our hearts and in our minds that is the goal of the church, to send the whole gospel to the whole world. Amen? Amen? We are committed in this church to reaching the lost. Why? Because that was the goal of Jesus when he came. In fact, in the book of Luke chapter 19, we read these words in verse 10. It says, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." It was his goal. And likewise, we are committed to not allowing the Great Commission to be an omission in our lives. We are committed to reaching the lost because we live in a sinful world where the gospel is concealed to so many people. So many people yet have heard the gospel. So many people have not responded to the gospel when they have heard it. And the goal of the church is to reach the lost. The goal of the church is to bring people to the light of God, the light of the gospel, so that men everywhere would know the way, the truth, and the life, and the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. That is the goal of the church. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. And whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine into them. So we see here that Satan's business is to produce darkness. His very goal is to make sure that there is a dark world so that people cannot see the light of the gospel. Well, what is the gospel? We celebrated it just a couple of weeks ago, the death, the burial, and the resurrection. That is still the gospel message today. It's still the gospel message that just like Jesus incurred a death and a burial and a resurrection, we, if we're going to be followers of Him, have to do that as well. And so we need everybody to experience the death and burial and resurrection. That's why we need God to send the light. Oh God, that is our prayer today. God, send the light. Hallelujah. Praise God. Send the light, the blessed gospel light, so that everyone would know the gospel, so that everyone could experience your death, burial, and resurrection. That must be our goal. We didn't read it in our opening scripture, but most of us know this. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And there was light. And in that light, there was harmony and peace. And Isaiah says that even in the midst of that, that Lucifer was son of the morning. He was the shining one. He was the light bearer. He was really the worship leader in heaven. He was in charge of all of the worship. And in the midst of even worshiping God, a dark spot began to appear in the spirit of Lucifer. And pretty soon he wanted to just create a coup and overthrow the angels and overthrow God and exalt himself above everything. And since that time, he's had a very different agenda, because when he did that, God cast him out of heaven. And he landed here on this planet. And since that time, he is motivated for a totally different agenda than God is. John tells us that the world, in John chapter 1, verse 4, he says that the Word was in the beginning and it became flesh. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. We know that's Jesus Christ. He is the life. He is the light of men. Hallelujah. So when Satan, when Lucifer left the light, he died spiritually. He got away from the light. And as a result of that, he died spiritually. But he was still able to operate. He was still able to function. And so when this takes place, two things begin to happen: spiritual death and darkness. And that's why we have so much of it on this planet, spiritual death and darkness. That's why Satan is so busy trying to spread what he has in his arsenal, what he still has left to give to people, which is spiritual death and darkness. And so he is busy trying to spread that everywhere he can. And Satan was cast out of heaven and he comes to earth and he brings those capabilities with him, death and darkness. Genesis 1 and 2 says, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Darkness was everywhere, and God began to move on that mess. He began to move on that mess. It was void. It was dark. Aren't you glad today that God moves in a mess? Whatever mess you have today, your life may be chaos. Your life may be a mess. But aren't you glad that God can move in your mess? That He can lift you up? That He can transform our lives? Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. And so the Spirit starts moving. That tells me that the only way that we can really get rid of the darkness in our lives is for us to have a move of the Spirit of God. That's why we just can't come to church and sit there. If we had the Spirit of God living inside of us, there's going to be movement. There's going to be somebody that's lifting their hands. There's going to be people that are praying. They're going to be lifting up God. There's going to be movement in the house because the Spirit of God is moving. They're praying. They're worshiping. They're saying, thank you, Jesus, because you've done something in me. You've changed me. You've brought light to my dark world. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. And then the Spirit says, let there be light. And it was only after that light came that life came. After the light came, then we see that life begins to take place. That's why Satan specializes in darkness. He cannot bring light. He can only bring darkness. The scripture says that we shouldn't be surprised when Satan transforms himself into an angel of light. But it's a fake light. It's a false light because he doesn't have life. He doesn't have any more light in him. He brings darkness and death, and that's what he wants to bring to this world. Praise God. Sometimes we just get used to the dark. Recently, I had moved a desk into my son's room. And so I was kind of using that to study a little bit. And I set my Bible down and I was trying to read. And I noticed that it was kind of dark in there. And I looked up at the fan and there were a couple bulbs that had burned out. But instead of getting up and changing the bulbs, and that would have been pretty easy, I just kind of sat there in the dim light, and I began to adjust to the dark. Sometimes that's what we do. When it's so much easier to get in the light, we just get comfortable in the dark. And we don't do anything to change our lives. We don't do anything to take away the darkness. We just grow comfortable with it. Ephesians 6 and 12 says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. You see, this world is living in spiritual darkness. They're living what they know, what Satan has brought. They're living in spiritual darkness and death. And that's what the church is battling today. We're battling spiritual death and darkness. That's why we believe so greatly around here that we've got to bring the light of the gospel to every creature, no matter who they are. That's why today I'm glad that we're a multicultural church. It doesn't matter here today if you're black or white. It doesn't matter if you're red or yellow. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you're rich or poor. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter if you're tall or you're short. It doesn't matter if you have great hair or you're like me that used to have great hair. It doesn't matter because we're committed to bringing the gospel to everybody. Hallelujah. Everybody needs to hear the light of the gospel. Hallelujah. This light of the gospel wants to penetrate the darkness. This light of the gospel wants to go to everyone so that everybody can be saved. There is a light for a dark world. Praise God. That's why we cannot be satisfied with our worldly agendas, our carnal viewpoints. Even the way we think about spiritual things sometimes, because we must move toward the light. Right. We probably have a lot of religious people in here, perhaps that thought you were walking in light, but you were walking in darkness. That's why we cannot be satisfied. Psalm 119, 105, the scripture says this, very famous portion of scripture. It says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Hallelujah. That's why the philosopher Erasmus said this. He says, give light and the darkness will disappear of itself. So if we give light, the darkness is going to go away. That's why we must be busy making sure that everyone receives the light of the gospel so that the darkness in their lives can disappear. Praise God. Sister Rodenbush and Brother Rodenbush, her husband, or the former regional directors to Europe and the Middle East, and they're also former missionaries to Ghana. But Brother Rodenbusch, her husband, initiated the AIM program, and he helped coordinate Compassion Services International. But she tells this story that one time that they were in Bulgaria and they were planning this children's crusade. And they had arranged this crusade, and Belgium was just coming out of the darkened rule of communism at that time. And they had just enough funds to hand out 10,000 Bibles. And they got there, and they were there, and several missionaries were there with Sister Tenney, and their plan was that for every child that came to the crusade, that they would receive a Bible. And so when they began the crusade, much to their surprise, the crowds began to grow, and the crowds began to grow some more, and they looked out, and there were people everywhere, and there was an estimated 20,000 people in the crowd attending that conference, and people were everywhere. And as they started to hand out the Bibles, people began to crowd in, and people began to reach, and people began to stretch, because they were desperate for the Word of God. They were desperate for Bibles. They had been under the darkened rule of communism, where things like that just weren't allowed. And so they were desperate for the Word of God. And even police had to be called in, and they set up barricades, but people still stretched themselves. They just yearned for the Word of God. Oh, that we could be like that today. She said that her heart ached as hundreds of elderly people had come and stood in line for hours hoping to get a Bible. Could I have a Bible, please? Could I have a Bible? Please give me a Bible. They reached out with worn, calloused hands. And the Bibles were to be given to the children first, and there weren't enough. There were only 10,000, and there were so many people. But she said it was what we had agreed to do. We couldn't change our plans. But how do you tell a hungry soul that she cannot have a Bible? How do you do that? We have so many Bibles in America, in every room of the house, even in the car. I have Bibles, you know, in my bedroom. I have Bibles in my study. I have Bibles in my basement. And you probably do too. We have Bibles everywhere. Why should we be so blessed when people that you see on the screen, people like that, beg for a Bible? They're begging for a Bible. One elderly lady, after being told she could not have a Bible, she sat down on a bench and cried. Sister Rodenbusch said, "I'll never forget the look on their faces. People with their hands out. To them, the Bible was no ordinary book. It was nothing ordinary. They were desperate for the Word of God. They were desperate to have the Word of God in their hands. This world is so full of desperate people. This world is so full of hungry people. They're hungry for the presence and move of God. We've got to reach them. We've got to share the light of the gospel. They long for the light to touch their world. But some of us, we come to church and we hear stories like this, and it doesn't really faze us, because we like I just mentioned, we have Bibles everywhere. It's hard for us to think about people that have never had a Bible. And we just come, and we hear great singing, and we hear great preaching, and we're right in the middle of the presence of God and the move of God, where God's touching people. But somehow or another, we can still sit there, and we don't lift our hands. We don't begin to pray or even worship sometimes. We begin to just sit there, becoming a spectator, like we're watching some documentary on TV. Instead of becoming involved in the presence of God. Instead of becoming involved in the move of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. We struggle giving to missions because we don't understand about people living in Africa. We don't understand about the lives of those that are in Asia that have never held a Bible in their hands. We can't fathom that. So we struggle giving the way that we should to global missions, because they're somewhere else. I don't know them. I'll never see them. And we focus too much on our wants. We focus too much on our desires. But God wants to do incredible things in our lives and through our lives. But we've got to be willing. Hallelujah. Praise God. The book of John tells us about this man that Jesus came across one day, this blind man, and he was walking with his disciples, and they began to talk, and the disciples just wanted to talk about the problem of the man. Does this happen to the man because he sinned, or did his parents sin? Why is this man blind like this? What problem caused this? And they just wanted to talk about the problem, but Jesus wanted to do so much more than to have a leadership meeting. He wanted to touch that man. He wanted to bring light to his life. He wanted to heal him. John 9:4, Jesus said, "I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." And because he said that, we have to focus on what's important. There are approximately 7 billion people in this world, and only about 31% of those people even call themselves a Christian. That means there are 69% of the people in the world that don't even call themselves a Christian. And not by a long shot do they believe that Jesus is the Messiah. Hallelujah. They've not repented. They've not gone to the baptistry in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of their sins. They've not received the Holy Ghost. They've not received the joy that you and I have experienced. Hallelujah. They're still living in a dark world. The light has to come to them. They've not even received the Holy Ghost. Maybe they've not, like the disciples of John, maybe they've not even heard that there is a Holy Ghost. Maybe they've not even heard that Jesus came to save them. That's why we must bring light for a dark world. Praise God. That's because we live in a world that's filled with spiritual darkness. And that spiritual darkness results in spiritual death. That's why we must take the whole gospel to the whole world. They may be filled with spiritual darkness right now, but what if we reach them? What if we can give them a Bible? What if we can tell them that God loves them? What if we can tell them our testimony of how God has changed our lives? Do you have a testimony today? Does anyone in our house today have something that they could share with this world? Hallelujah, of how God has transformed your life, how he saved you, how he's changed you, how he's healed you. Praise God. There is light for a dark world. One of my students, and we, as some of you know, we were recently in Scotland the first of the year, and one of my students there recently quoted this. He said, "Some of y'all wear the cross around your neck, but not on your heart." Well, it's easy to put it on, but it's much harder to get it inside of us. In Luke 9:23, the scripture says, "And he said to them, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." It's more to it than just putting on a cross. It's more to it than just coming to church. It's more to it than just giving a few bucks in the offering plate. We must invest ourselves in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. What Jesus was telling them is they needed to put to death their own plans, their own wants, their own desires. They needed to turn their lives over to him. And if we don't do this, we'll never reach a world that is lost and hungry for the gospel. People like Lisa that I recently came across. Lisa is a 13-year-old middle school girl. Lisa had been abused at a much younger age, and her father was an alcoholic. Her mother was hardly ever around. They were both inattentive, and as a result, she felt lonely, and she felt unloved, uncared for. We live in a world like that, a world full of Lisas. She said these words, "Why do I want to live when life offers nothing but pain? Why do I want to live when life offers nothing but pain?" There are so many other people just like Lisa that would tell you the same thing. Why do we even want to live? Why do we even want to get up in the morning? Lisa was full of fear and hopelessness. She didn't think that things could ever get better. Her life was filled with darkness, and there was no escape that, for her. It seemed like her life was an abyss, and it was just dark and void. There was no hope. That's why we must take this gospel to Lisa, this gospel to those folks that you just saw on the screen, people just like her, people living their life, but living in darkness. No hope. Not knowing about the great light of Jesus Christ. Not knowing about his gospel message. That's why we are so determined in this church to reach the lost. Not only to take the gospel to the residents of Winston-Salem, but we must take the gospel to places like Vietnam and Venezuela. We must take the gospel to places like Ethiopia and El Salvador, Finland and France, Madagascar, Uganda, Egypt, New Guinea, India. There are people everywhere that need the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the gospel matters. Anybody here believe the gospel matters? It saves us. It saved me. And it saves you. Hallelujah. Praise God. That's why I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation. It saved me. Thank you, God, for saving me. Thank you, God, for saving me. You saved me. You called me. Hallelujah. That's because somebody reached out to you with the gospel. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. And as I look out over this audience, I know that there are so many, as I just saw you clapping your hands and raising your hands. There's so many that understand exactly what I'm talking about, because you were living in darkness. You were living without hope. You were alive, but you were in darkness. You're stumbling around trying to find your way, trying to find a different way, because the life that you were living just wasn't working out too well. And so as a result of that, you tried everything you could try. Drugs and alcohol, relationships, and even religion. But it wasn't enough. You were still in darkness. Still wanting hope. Still dissatisfied. Still discouraged. Still groping around for answers. But one day, thank God. Thanks be unto God. One day the light came. Hallelujah. Thank you, God, that the light came. Thank you, God, for saving me. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because I ought to still be in darkness. Hallelujah. In fact, I should probably even be dead. But thank God for the grace of God. Thank God for the mercy of God. Thank God, hallelujah, that he reached out to me. And I lived, hallelujah. And he lives in me. Hallelujah. It's not that I live. It's he lives in me. Praise God, hallelujah. Praise God. That's why we must understand that Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. He even said that he that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Hallelujah. Anybody experienced that today? Hallelujah. You were lost in a dark world, lost in sin. But one day, hallelujah, one day he came. But still, there are so many that have not experienced that. Right. Matthew 4, verse 16 says, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. Thank you, Lord, that we've seen a great light. And for those who lived in the land where death cast a shadow, a light has shined. Praise God. I'm so glad that I've experienced that. I know that you're glad that you've experienced that. One day, a light shined in your hearts. You received the gospel message of Jesus Christ. And so God has called you as a result of you receiving the gospel. He's called you to tell others. He's called you and me to make a difference. Just like he called John the Baptist. John the Baptist wasn't the one. He was just preparing the way for the one. He just came preaching Jesus, saying, there is a light. There is a light. You've been in a dark place, world, but there is a light that can help. There is a world. There's somebody that's coming to seek and to save that which is lost. There is a light. for a dark world. Luke 1 and 77 says this. It says, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people. This is what John was doing. To give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins. Through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us. To give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. Well, how do we do that? How do we give light to those that sit in darkness? We tell others what God has done for us. We share our testimony. Hallelujah. We give to global missions. We participate in investing in things that are happening next week in our services for the Faith Promise next Sunday morning. You want to be here because God wants to use us. We're going to act in faith next Sunday morning, and we're going to give because this local church believes in giving the needed funds to help reach this world that is still sitting in darkness. Hallelujah. There's a whole world still sitting in darkness. But our giving, some of you may even go, and it will help others connect the way that David connected in the book of 2 Samuel. This is what David said. He said, for thou art my lamp, O Lord, and the Lord will lighten my darkness. For thou art my lamp, O Lord. The only way that we can lighten the darkness today is have the light come to the darkness. That doesn't just happen automatically. Something has to happen. Light drives the darkness away. That's why this church loves Jesus so much, because Jesus drives the darkness away. Hallelujah. That's why this church loves people so much, because we know that people everywhere still sit in darkness. That's why this church loves mission so much, because we believe in investing so that we can provide the whole gospel to the whole world, because people still sit in darkness. We need to tell everybody that Jesus Christ still saves from sin. Hallelujah. Everybody needs to know that today, that Jesus still saves from sin. No matter what's in your life, no matter how sinful you are, no matter what your sins are, he still saves from sin. Hallelujah. I thank the Lord today that when I was living in darkness, when I was sitting in darkness, somebody came to me. Somebody thought enough about me. I was lost in sin, and God, through his tender mercy, allowed someone to witness to me, to share their testimony with me, how their life was filled with drugs and alcohol and hopelessness. And one day they came to a church and they heard a preacher, And their life was transformed. I mean, complete change. They did a total 180. They left all that stuff. All that stuff that they did when they were sitting in darkness. Their life was totally transformed. They began to share their testimony of what God had done for them, and how their life was a total disaster. And God had changed all that. And then they shared that with me. And as a result, I came to this church and I heard preaching and I heard the gospel myself. And the light began to open up in my life. That's why today we can't run from the light. We can't run from the light. We got to run toward the light. Because if we run toward the light, there's salvation. There's healing. There's all kind of things that God wants to do in our lives. But we must run to the light. There is light for a dark world. When Bartimaeus came to Jesus, Jesus asked him one question. He said, What are you doing? What do you want me to do? That probably seemed pretty obvious, but he still asked him the question. In Mark 10 and 51, we read, the blind man said unto him, Lord, that I may receive my sight. What did he ask for? What did he ask for? His sight, right? Why? Because he was tired of the darkness. He was tired of living his whole life in darkness. Every day when he got up, went about his business, going to bed, still in darkness, still without any hope. We live in a world like that, that sits in darkness. And he couldn't even follow Jesus because he couldn't even see. That's why we must reach a dark world. Some of you are here today because you're tired of living in fear. You decide to give a heaven view a try because you're tired of sitting in darkness. Maybe you've tried drugs and alcohol and religion even, but you're still tired of sitting in darkness. Please let the Lord touch you today. He's here. He's wanting to help you. He's wanting to provide light to your life. Hallelujah. 1 Peter 2:9 says, "For he has called you," what? "Out of darkness into his marvelous light." He's calling somebody today. He's wanting to call somebody out of your darkness. John 12:35, the New Living Translation says, "My light will shine for you just a little longer. Walk in the light while you can, so that the darkness will not overtake you." Those who walk in darkness cannot see where they're going. Put your trust in the light while there is still time. That's why today, if you've not obeyed this gospel message, you must, while there is still time. Acts 2:38, that's the gospel message. "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." That's light. That's life to me. Hallelujah. Anybody experience that? That's light. That's life. Hallelujah. He called us out of darkness. You were walking in darkness, but light came. Praise God. We must introduce others to Jesus because he's the light of the world. And we must let them know that they need to experience this salvation. Sometimes we can even be deceived thinking we're on the right path. That's what happened to Paul. He was convinced he was walking in truth, but he was really walking in darkness. Acts 22, it says, "And it came to pass that as I made my journey and was come nigh to Damascus about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven," what? "A great light. And it shone round about me." And he says, "I encountered a great light." He needed a great light. Why? Because he was in great darkness. There is light for a dark world. He continued, "And I fell unto the ground and heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I answered, Who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest." That must have come as quite a shock. "And they that were with me saw indeed the light and were afraid. But they heard not the voice of him that spoke to me." That's the problem with a lot of people. They see the light, but they don't hear the voice. They never come as close as God wants them to be. They don't respond to the gospel the way that Paul did. Because Paul, after this happened, he immediately responds, "And I said, What shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said unto me, Arise and go into Damascus, and there it shall be told of thee all things which are appointed for thee to do." There's something for you to do. There are some things that somebody needs to do today. Somebody in this house needs to do something. So when Paul saw the light, what happened to him? When he heard the voice of God, he followed God's instructions. The preacher comes and tells him about this new birth message. And when he obeys, more light comes. And he experiences repentance and baptism in Jesus' name and the infilling of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. God is calling someone today. There is light for a dark world. Praise God. In Acts chapter 12, we read about Peter. Verse 6, it says, "And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers. And he was bound with two chains, and the keepers before. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison." A light shined. Where? In the prison. Some of you are in prison today, and you need to let a light shine. "And he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, Arise quickly. And his chains fell off from his hands." You see, light comes, and then liberty comes. Hallelujah. "And the angel said unto him, Gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. And so he did, and he said unto him, Cast thy garment about thee and follow me." Some of you here, under the sound of my voice today, you need to follow the light. Will you follow the light today? Will you follow the light? Will you hear the voice of God saying, come a little closer? What happened to Peter? The light came. The chains fell off. He was a free man. And if you respond to the light, then the miraculous can happen in your life too. Hallelujah. That's why we have to pursue the light. Would you make a move toward the light today? Would you just do something to move closer to the light? Would you make a move today to the things of God? Just come a little closer. His word says, if you get close to me, if you draw nigh to me, I'll get close to you. Would you all stand today? In our opening scriptures, God said, let there be light. And there was light. But verse 16 said, and God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day. But it's the fourth day. If there was light on the first day, what happened? There are some things that we just can't understand. Some things, the Word of God, some things in our life. When we give sacrificially to God, I just know, even if I can't understand how, I just know that God is going to bless me. When I give to God, I know that He's going to take care of me. How about when you repent and ask God for forgiveness? He's going to fill you with the Holy Ghost. He's going to allow you to speak in other tongues. I can't explain it. I just know it happens. And if you will repent of your sins today, God will fill you with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. It will happen. Somebody just needs to move toward the light. Yes. There is a light for a dark world. Yeah. If you need deliverance, Colossians 1:13 says, He has delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. So today, everybody needs to come to these altars. Everybody needs to come and pray and move toward the light. Won't you come today? He said, if you'll draw nigh unto me, I'll draw nigh unto you. Hallelujah. Won't you just come today to these altars? Begin to pray. Begin to lift up God. If you move toward the light, the miraculous can happen. Hallelujah. There is light for a dark world. Jesus said, yet a little while is the light with you. I don't know how long the light's going to be here. That's why we have to move toward the light. We have to move. We have to make a move today. If we have the Spirit of God, there's going to be some movement. Hallelujah. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's pray. Let's pray, church. We live in a dark world. They need the light. Hallelujah. Oh.